The One About Friends is brought to you by the Four Finger Discount Network.
No, I just need to be by myself for a while, you know? I just gotta figure out what I want.
No. See, because not all guys out there are gonna be Apollo.
No, I know. And I'm sure your little boy's not gonna grow up to be one.
What? I'm having a boy?
No. In fact, you're not having a boy.
Well, I'm having a boy. Am I having a boy? I'm having a boy.
Hey. We already knew that.
I'm having a son.
Welcome to the One About Friends, the podcast that'll be there for you if you're there for it too. Hope you all have had a fantastic holiday season. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show, the first show of 2023, and we are here to review the 12th episode. Now, 12 is a number that plays a key role in many ways for this episode. So, it's the 12th episode of the series overall. It is the one with a dozen lasagnas. I'm Dando.
I'm Nicola.
Do you want to hear the other 12 reasons, Nicola?
I'd love to hear
the other
them.
12, the other ways
it links to the number 12. I'd love that.
So, a dozen lasagnas, obviously.
Yeah.
But it aired on January 12th, 1995.
Oh, very good.
So 12. I was just like, there's a lot of 12s going on in this episode.
I love that for you.
Yeah, I know 7's the big number for Friends, but 12, the 12 for this episode here. This was an episode, before we get into the episode actually, let's discuss our Christmas period that we had. I thought it was a very busy time, wasn't it?
It was craziness. Rather hectic, yes. Mm. I mean, I'm sure that everybody with children feels the same way. I mean, there's such a build-up and then there's like one day and you're like, oh.
And just cardboard everywhere.
Yeah, we were the hosts. Well, we always tend to host the Christmas present opening, don't we? So Brendan's family come over.
Yep.
Not only do we give the kids prezzies, but obviously we give each other presents. So it was absolute madness. Those of you that saw Brendan's video of what the present haul looked like, that was ridiculous. Brendan has learned his lesson, though, to be less ridiculous next year.
I have. I say that I have anyway. Basically,
forget this by, I don't know, next month.
I've already started buying stuff for next Christmas.
Oh, God.
I made the joke on social media that it looked like our kids had prevented a robbery at Duncan's Toy Chest.
Yes.
Because our living room was just full of presents, but it was fun. I just love seeing the big smiles on our kids' faces. And
still opening things for the first time. Like, as in, like, we've opened all of the wrapping paper, but Elliot's still walking around the house going, oh, can I open that now?
Yes. It's because it's just presents everywhere. We're like, oh, that's right. Nicola's like, did you just buy them this? I'm like, nah, it's an extra Christmas one that we forgot we had in my room. Yeah, anyway. Because the studio here becomes a dumping room because, as you said, we hosted Christmas. It's like, quick, just get all the mess out of the living room and into Brennan's room. But we're here now to review the one with the dozen lasagnas. Probably one of the best episodes of the series to date, I think. I think this really moved the stories forward when it came to Rachel, and obviously Paolo is out of the picture now. They've killed him off. But Rachel and Ross's relationship,
He's friend-zoned, man.
He's friend-zoned, but Paolo's out of the picture. But
we also, any competition.
We also get Ross finding out the sex of his baby.
Yes, very sweet.
Which was, what this episode showed to me was I'm officially hooked, and I can really see why the show became such a big success, because there's just so much going on. There's the comedy, but they always back it up with these
arcs. Real life, story happening.
Yeah,
in the background,
and you know when they're going for it too, because the music cue, they have that little emotional cue. But it gets me every time, and it's funny. It's usually Ross that has those moments, even though I think he's one of his favorite.
Well, at the moment, you know, there's lots of things going on in his life. I mean, there'll definitely be moments, obviously, as we see the characters grow and have more serious, dramatic things happening in their life. But yeah, obviously right now the drama is, you know, Ross's divorce and his wife is still pregnant, and now it's the sex of the baby, and you know, there's all this happening for him right now.
It's very much, even though other characters have their stories, it's very much the Ross show. Still though, I think he's my least favorite character. there's something about him. And then when I was reading that book we were talking about in the last episode, where apparently he was the hardest to get along with, and I don't know, like David Schwimmer. But I really enjoyed Phoebe in this. Phoebe's been one of my lesser favourite characters. I thought she hasn't really added much so far.
Yeah, I thought she's very kind in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. So you can see why she becomes a fan favourite going forward. But yeah, what did you think of this episode? Did you enjoy
it? Yeah, no, I did. I did think it was good. Definitely some, yeah, funny moments of dialogue and obviously, like you say, moving along of the various storylines. So I thought it was really good.
What were your favourite moments from it?
I will refer to my notes.
Now, do you want to explain to the listeners what you're reading your notes from?
Beautiful new notepad, which has got a picture of Brendan and I on the inside of each cover. It says on it, the one about Friends. So it's a black cover of a notepad, you know, like a ring binder notepad thing. And it says Nicola's notes on it. And obviously Friends has got, you know, your coloured dots. It's all in the Friends font. So
because Nicola's been using a 2021 Empire Strikes Back notebook.
Oh, I've been using any kind of notebook that's got a page spare. Like, yeah, we've got some hanging around.
I'm going to put a photo up of this on our social media. So yeah. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all the same at One About Friends. We'll check a photo of that book up on there so you can check it out. All right.
Yeah. Now, so a few of my funny moments or my favorite moments, mm-hmm. obviously, in the pretty much quite early in the episode about the fling should be flung and Ross working through how can I put a stop to this? I could call immigration. I could call immigration.
I thought that would have been better if he didn't say, "I'll call immigration." Just the facial expression of
yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah,
that was enough.
No,
I thought.
It was still good though. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And then obviously like Ross is with the lasagna going over to Carol's house. I'm pretty sure that it's vegetarian.
Yeah. Like, do you feel like he did that because just to sort of get it, Susan?
That's the only reason he did that. What do you mean?
I don't know. But he's also helping Monica handballing off these lasagnas.
Well, that too. But yeah. Like, yeah,
it's weird that relationship with Susan and Ross. I feel like in the last one they really, or maybe the one before, where they find out. Well, I think he was singing to the baby, he felt the kick and stuff.
Sort of enjoyed that tender moment together. I know.
And now it's back to like, you know, punching her in the arm and her rolling her eyes and pushing him out of the way to get to Karen. I was like, maybe they'll film out of order those episodes.
I don't know. I don't know. It's very much like that for a good while. Like it's very much he doesn't like Susan. End of story. Like, you know, I'm sure that they enjoy these tender moments together, but it doesn't change the overarching. You know, he blames Susan for his marriage breaking down and things like that.
I can completely understand that. It just felt weird that they've gone from that to this. But I did read up somewhere online that the numbers on the apartments went from 19 and 20 back to 4 and 5 this episode or something. And they're saying maybe – a lot of people online were saying maybe all the episodes with the actor playing Paolo were filmed together.
Right, yeah.
And that's why – maybe Susan and Ross's dynamic felt a bit off. I don't know, but as you're saying going forward,
I'm just
kind of
used
to
it. Yeah, there's lots of bites at each other forevermore, really, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the do you want to know about the sex? You know, I'm having enough trouble with you guys, let alone throwing Tanya in the mix. I thought that was very well written.
I'm starting to change my opinion. For a long while, listeners, I've had the opinion that Friends is very 90s when it comes to it's dealing with the homosexual community. Just the way it makes it usually it's the butt of the joke. It was one of only a few shows that was actually even acknowledging it on television.
Yeah.
So even though at times it could be tongue-in-cheek a gag, awareness is something.
I was going to say, it does depend. And some of the time you'll find somebody's making a joke to somebody's expense and someone else, another character, will turn in there, you know, turn the conversation around and be like, well, actually, what if it was this, this and this? Like there's some really great episodes coming up where they put a spin on, you know, being straight or being gay and, you know, I won't ruin it for anybody, but there's some really interesting it's kind of, yeah, someone comes in with your negative or your anti kind of opinion or something, making fun of somebody, and then someone else spins it on their head and says, actually, you're the knob. You're the one now that's making, you know, this is the reason why. So there is awareness, definitely. And also it's not a taboo subject. It's, you know, it's just a commonly brought up thread that, you know, these people are, you know, there's a gay lesbian couple in there that are just living together. And it's just normal.
The discussion of lesbian sex like in 1990, well, this is 95, early 95, just yeah, that was pretty groundbreaking. So I've just sort of, I've always seen Friends have gone, I always go to that nanny episode Well, he's at least bi.
I know.
I watch it. But he seemed to be
you know, that's turned around, and actually, yeah. Rachel, you know, says to him, you know, this is not okay. So there's these moments where it's like it's a teaching moment, you know. So like, hopefully, you look back and you go, you look and sound like an idiot, mate. That was not okay. But it's not that the right. It's not any writer's opinion. It's sort of just like you say, awareness and bringing it into the forefront and. Then looking at all the different perspectives around those comments and how they can be perceived, and actually how the person making the comment is the thoughtless one or whatever it might be. So,
well, it happens in The Simpsons sometimes, and like Homer being a dick, it changed because we're on our Four Finger Discount podcast that my friend Guy Davis and I co-host, which is, you know, what built this empire here. We're up to season 16, and in the earlier seasons of The Simpsons, Homer was a bit of a knob here and there, but people always called him out for it and said. That makes it okay. It's okay if someone does something stupid, as long as it's brought to their attention and they're held accountable.
Mm.
As the show gets on, it's almost like they forgot to hold him accountable, where they create what people perceive as jerk-ass Homer, where he's just a jerk and people just accept it. And that's when the whole tone of the show changed. I haven't felt that with Friends yet. Every time someone says something that's ridiculous like that, like whether it's like about, you know, the gay community or whatever, they're always held accountable or that it's pointed out. You know, it's stupid that you are thinking this way. You're aware of that, right? Yeah. So my whole tune has changed from Friends from doing this podcast. Mm. Yeah, I'm actually watching the show and actually realizing, oh, wait a minute, all my opinions were silly.
Hold on, does that mean I'm going to have to share my merch now?
Not sharing the merch, no, because I don't think I fit into a size 10.
Oh, well, that too, but I got mugs.
Yeah, you got plenty of mugs. Yeah, but I don't drink coffee.
Is your mouth a regular mug size mouth?
Yeah, who knows? What else did you like? Anything else?
Several sort of bits and bobs that I've written notes down. I did like towards the end when we're obviously playing on the foosball table, and Monica and Ross are playing against Joey and Chandler, and Monica was like, "Yeah, score," and Ross is just like, "Yeah," and they're like, "Hey, you could be on the Olympic standing there team," which I thought was very funny. I never really heard that line before, and realized or took it on board that it was actually a gag in itself. I just didn't even really hear it before. Gag in itself.
Oh, it's a gag. I was like, what? Yeah, gag.
It's a gag in itself. Like that line, it's a one-liner, you know, but I just never really heard it before. Just, you know, as Brendan and you all know now, like I have it on in the background and stuff and I hadn't paid any attention, but I thought that was actually a very funny line. You could be on the Olympic standing there team.
It's actually astonishing, listeners. Like, I don't think you understand. Nicola's watched these episodes 100 times each, if not more. The fact that you're still finding lines. But you know what it is that there's so many quips in the show. It's easy to miss because you're thinking or you're laughing about one and there's another one and another one and another one. But yeah, I really enjoyed, I'm just excited to be an aunt or an uncle. Like completely just misunderstanding the conversation.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Phoebe's, she doesn't make the cookies very often.
It's not fair to the other cookies. Yeah.
Which I thought was very sweet. And just the table store scene in particular, just the
buying furniture like a couple.
Yeah, I like the way they sort of, Joey treats Kip like it's an ex-boyfriend, you know, that kind of thing. And just the final scene where he finds out that he's going to be, he's going to have a son.
Mm.
I know they cue the music and all this other stuff to make you feel that way, but it's just nice that, like, this show's only 12 episodes in, but you're buying into their lives already. Mm. Yeah, it's really cool. If you're a fan of everything we do here at The One About Friends, you can support the show on Patreon, where not only will you get early ad-free access to the show, but you also get access to hours of bonus podcasts, access to our exclusive Facebook community, and so much more. So join the One About Friends family today at patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. Link is in the description of this podcast.
5 correct questions wins the game. The lightning round begins now.
Nicola, before we get into trivia, we need to read out some names because trivia here on The One About Friends is brought to you by our incredible patrons, in particular our $20 patrons. But before we get into our $20 patrons, Nicola, we need to give shout-outs to our man Elliot J. O'Neill from the Simpsons Index podcast. He is our $100 patron of the month. And if you're a fan of The Simpsons, I'm assuming you would be. If you grew up in the 90s, The Simpsons Index is another Simpsons podcast, not Four Finger Discounts, another one of ours that Guy and myself appeared on several weeks ago as well. The Simpsons Index podcast, make sure you check it out. So thanks to our man Elliot J. O'Neill, and thanks to our man Andrew Zer, who donates $50 every month.
Oh my gosh.
Absolute legend. And he chucked us an extra $100 for a Christmas present as well.
Mate, you just filled up the car with the petrol.
Yeah, you did. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Zer, our $50 patron of the month. Also, shout outs to the following $20 patrons: Jordan Molman, Richie, Christopher Darby, Jonathan Rossi, Zach Pruitt, Timothy Burleson, George McMenemy, Stephen Roberts, Sean DV, Pete Anderson, Plain Old Matt, Andrew Davis, Ryan Dunlap, Jared Howard, Kevin Dettelplan, Flood, Joel Yoland, Katie G, Daniel Kotnick, Shannon Hofer, Reese Roberts, Bella Winderbank, Tom Pickering, Mark Boston Burgess, Groundskipper Noah, Declan Phoenix, Jack McFadden, Heath Appleby, Preston Murray, and Adric McLeod. Thank you so much, guys, for your ongoing support. Remember, if you do enjoy everything we do here at The One About Friends, you can support the show on Patreon, where you get access to bonus podcasts, early ad-free access to this show and all the other shows we do, our exclusive Facebook community, monthly prize draws, and much, much more. So at the end of the month of January, we will be doing a prize draw for our beloved patrons. So jump on board and join the One About Friends family. Link is in the description of this podcast. Nicola, what is your first question for us?
Well, I went first with my favourite moment, so I think you should go first.
All right, then.
I feel the pressure in the trivia.
What was the theme that Ross started singing after they did The Odd Couple?
Oh, the one after. Yeah, Mission Impossible. Yeah, because I didn't know.
No.
Oh.
No. It wasn't Mission Impossible.
Hold on a minute. Countdown? I realise that. All right.
It's a sitcom. We rub a lamp. I dream of Jeannie, yes.
Oh, shit. No, I voluntarily got that wrong. So it's funny because I didn't know the first tune, The Odd Couple. You threw me there because I didn't know that song.
Okay.
And I don't know how to Google a song I don't know when I don't know it.
It's a sitcom that aired like a long, long time ago, but they revived it, I think, like 2015 to like 2017 or something. And Matthew Perry was one of the actors in it.
Oh, really? In The Odd Couple? Oh, cool.
But this is obviously 2020.
I'll have to have a look at that. Yeah,
20 years prior, yeah.
All right. Which author did Rachel refer to when she was discussing her, feelings for Paolo?
It's Danielle something. Danielle Steele?
Yes, very Steele. Good. All and right. Bonus points. Do you know the kind of author that Danielle Steele is? Have you ever heard of her?
Like Chandler's mum?
Oh, yeah, basically. Well, yeah. Sort of probably less raunchy, but more
novels.
More like romantic dramas and stuff. Like my mum used to read Danielle Steele books all the time.
Is that why your whole collection is full of Danielle Steele books?
It's not, but well, it's actually not. No, Marion Keyes.
Who is the author that you like?
Yeah, Marion Keyes is one of them.
What's that with Jane?
There's a who's just lies. What's the one?
Is it Jane somebody that you like?
Oh, I've forgotten the name of the book now. But no, there's a few in that collection that I've got. Okay. I've forgotten the name. But anyway, that was, move on and cut that out because it's not good content.
My next question is, what is the name of Aunt Seal's husband?
Freddie.
Yes.
You kiss Uncle Freddie with that mouth?
Yeah.
Okay. What are the types of service that Phoebe offers at her massage parlor? So she had a schedule change that day and the 4 o'clock something was pushed to 4:30.
It starts with S. Someone cancelled her S appointment.
Well, that was the second one.
No, I'm not going to get it then.
All right. So she moved her herbal massage from 4 o'clock to 4:30. And do you know the name of the person that moved her shiatsu?
She sounds old.
Yeah, well, no, Miss Summerfield. So, I don't know. She could be like 18. She's a Miss. But anyway, Miss Summerfield cancelled her 5:30 shiatsu.
Okay. And then the old Paolo arrives. Yum. Yeah. My next question is...
Is that your personal opinion?
Yeah.
He's a hairy dude, by the way.
Yeah. I got hairy after being with you. Have you noticed that?
I just want to clarify, sorry. I think it's more that you...
got older.
Matured, yes. But like, no, I made you hairy.
When I met you, though, I didn't really have much of a hairy chest. You put hairs on my chest.
Yeah, weirdly fucking shaved your chest. But whatever.
At what?
You weirdly shaved your chest.
Football, so I could strap up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I've got the answer here, but not the question.
Maybe can we do it? What's that show that you do it? Jeopardy or something? Go on, give me the answer and I'll tell you the question.
We'll do it for this one because we'll see it.
Yeah.
All right. Deb and Rona.
Yeah, shit.
Nicola looks lost. I know what the question is now.
I know, right? Shit. Can you give me who said it?
Nah, we'll just get on with it. Okay. So I'll take... Who does Susan suggest they call? Carol's parents or these people?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Carol's parents are Deb and Rona. Yeah, very good, very good. Okay, what about... Who was Joey's breakfast adventure with?
It's Amy someone?
Close.
I've got it in my notes. It's cheating. Not that look. It starts with A though, right?
It does.
Yeah. Amy, Alice... I don't know. I'm lost. What is it?
Angela Del Vecchio. And bonus question.
The butter.
Yeah, I was going to say, where was the print that leaves nothing to the imagination?
But what was the print, though?
I'm thinking balls and
why the hell? Why would it be in the butter?
You ask a good question, but like what else
lather
leaves
himself
nothing
up with butter first?
No, but
maybe?
Like what else leaves nothing to the imagination? Like,
maybe she grabbed a butter and squeezed it with all her might, so it was squished like a fist.
I mean, that wouldn't. I mean, I'm just gonna make a mess of the butter. It's not gonna leave anything.
Someone's putting your balls on the butter. So.
Two circles in it.
Yeah.
Meat and two veg.
My final question is, what time does the table store close?
Shit, I don't know, 5 o'clock?
7 p.m.
Oh, I've got no idea, so I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Late night shopping on a Friday.
Yeah, how do we know it was a Friday?
I don't know, I'm just guessing.
Could have been. Can I go on bonus question? You fancy a bonus one?
Yeah.
What did Kip buy with Chandler before he moved out and got married and broke his heart?
Started with H again.
It did. Very good with the letters, by the way. That's what subtitles does for you.
Yeah, I know. I've got it in my notes again.
Hibachi.
Hibachi.
And what's an hibachi?
I don't know.
It's a grill.
It's a grill.
Yeah,
okay.
I googled it.
Yeah. Good job.
It's not my existing knowledge. It's new knowledge for this podcast only. Hibachi is a grill.
Hibachi
it looks
is
kind
a grill.
Of a bit like a, you know, like a stovetop kind of barbecue thing. Like I imagine sort okay. of you'd put it on and grill some stuff on it.
Yep. Grill some shit.
Yeah.
All right. That is trivia for the one with the dozen lasagnas. We'll be right back, guys, after this short break with our review of the episode.
Are you tired of listening to people talk about something and would just rather hear two losers talk about nothing? Well, look no further than Talking Seinfeld, our podcast discussing every episode of the number one show of the 90s. Talking Seinfeld is available now for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. If you feel like having yourself a time, then check out our new podcast, Going Down to South Park, where we go back and revisit every episode of the iconic series, dissecting the stories, reveling in chef sing-alongs, and chuckling at the occasional fart joke. Going Down to South Park is available now for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
The original air date of The One with the Dozen Lasagnas was January 12th, 1995. It was directed by Paul Lazarus and written by several people, Jeff Astroff, Mike Sikowitz, Adam Chase, and Ira Ungolida. The episode kicks off, as we discussed earlier, with them singing The Odd Couple in the cafe, which was a bit of fun, but still, as I was watching, I'm going, this is just weird. Like, everyone in the background of the cafe is not even acknowledging that there's a group of six
and
adults.
And nobody else does that. Nobody, like, harmonizes, taps their pencil, and does shit like that. Like, if the song came on, I would wholeheartedly sing with, you know, with a couple of mates that knew the words or something, but I wouldn't a cappella, you know, sit there.
Yeah, like if it was fun, but it just felt very unrealistic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the episode kicks off. We have the intro, obviously, with Monica on the phone to Aunt Sil, and Aunt Sil is not happy because she has obviously asked Monica to make her a dozen lasagnas, but forgot to tell her it was vegetarian, which is a pretty key
aspect. I know.
If someone says cook me 12 lasagnas and doesn't say anything else, you're going to put meat in that lasagna.
Yeah, like she's right. I'm just saying, if you'd have told me vegetarian lasagnas, I would have made vegetarian lasagnas.
I hope she paid
it. It's interesting because I can't imagine, even the way like she was firing back at, you know, nice talk Aunt Sil and all, I could never imagine falling out with my auntie like that or talking to my auntie like in this way.
They're from New York.
Oh yeah, I know, but
I'm walking here. I'm cooking here.
You kiss Uncle Freddy with that
mouth? Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to know where my auntie's mouth is, you know? Like, that's not something I'm saying to my auntie.
So she just, as Monica says, every third layer doesn't have any meat in it, so you can...
scrape.
Yeah, you can scrape, yep. Which I'm assuming is what Phoebe does at the end, because she's eating lasagna.
Noticed the exact same thing that she was eating it, and I pop that down in my notes, how, little accidental, you know?
But it's a way around it. But even vegetarians wouldn't eat... that. They wouldn't scrape it.
I like, okay, I'm allergic to peanuts. Slightly different. I'm not going to, you know, get the satay chicken and just scrape away the satay. Like,
they're still working at the continuity of the characters because Phoebe also says she stays away from dairy in, I think, the one with the blackout.
Yeah, I know.
And she's carrying around a thermos of milk.
Yeah, but we'll go with the cookies, don't you know? I've seen some really good memes lately about people that are lactose intolerant that go ahead and say, like, they're lactose intolerant but then eat the dairy, and I'm absolutely one of those people.
But you're not lactose intolerant.
No, like, I don't get along well with dairy, though, right? So I can't, like, ice cream gives me tummy ache, cow's milk gives me tummy ache, but I will happily order, like, a soy latte over ice and get the squirty cream on top. And you know what? That squirty cream
is
full on dairy cow's
milk. She means whipped cream. She calls it squirty cream. It sounds weird. It sounds dirty. It's just...
No. Oh, Brendan.
Do you go to the cafe and say, can I have some squirty cream, please? Do you actually say squirty cream?
No, I'm pretty sure it says on the menu it comes with cream on top and I don't take it off. I just tell them to give
me
soy milk.
Don't forget your squirty
But they're
cream.
Like, yo, bitch, you're ordering a soy coffee fucking with cream on top. What's wrong with you?
Not just cream, everybody. It's squirty cream.
Oh, look, that's because it... at the container. It squirts.
It whips. It's whipped.
That's
whipped
different.
Cream.
It literally is called squirty cream in England.
Is it really?
Yeah. Like, I didn't make it up. I'm not from here. Like, it's legit called squirty cream.
Squirty cream. Well, there you go.
Why else would I say it?
I don't know why you do say and do things sometimes.
Mm. Moving on.
But squirty cream. Okay, well, there you go. It's, she means whipped cream for everyone else. That's not from England.
Yeah, thanks.
Where were we up to? So basically, they're just, yeah, Monica's on the phone. She's annoyed with her auntie. Ross has got all these baby books. He said he's read them. You would not get stuck in the uterus, is what he says.
There's really only one way out, just so you know.
Yeah, going the other way.
For those who haven't studied.
Go the other way, you ain't getting out, buddy. Phoebe then brings up how some people eat the placenta.
Yeah. We did not do that. Don't worry, folks. Oh, sorry. No offense to anybody that did, FYI, but no, it wasn't for us.
Yeah, no.
Just a disclaimer. It wasn't for us, that's all.
Poor Chandler, his yogurt is ruined as a result.
Some people have also, by the way, if anyone's interested, put a placenta in when they plant a tree. Apparently it's so full of nutrients, it makes like plants and things thrive, just FYI.
Aunt Sil, I did this as a favor. I am not a caterer. What do you want me to do with a dozen lasagnas? Nice talk, Aunt Sil. You kiss Uncle Freddy with that mouth.
Hey, Ross, listen, do you know that right now your baby is only this big? This is your baby.
Hi, Daddy. How come you don't live with Mommy? How come Mommy lives with that other lady? What's a lesbian?
So what you bought? Top of the feet,
you can say it. Poke a nose. Poke a nose. It's like poke a nose.
Ah. Poke a nose. Blah, blah,
blah. So, did I hear poke a nose?
Yes. My sister's giving us her place for the weekend.
Woohoo! First weekend away together.
Yeah, it's a big step.
I know.
Oh, it's just a weekend, big deal.
Wasn't this supposed to be just a fling, huh? Shouldn't it be flung by now?
I mean, we are way past the fling thing. I mean, I am feeling things that I've only read about in Daniel Steele books, you know? I mean, when I'm with him, I'm just totally... totally.
Nauseous. I'm physically nauseous. What am I supposed to do, huh? Call immigration? I could call immigration.
And Chandler and Joey are leaving later on. Joey doesn't become a father in the series, does he?
Joey, no.
No, no. But he says he loves babies.
Yeah, he's very sweet. I
feel like Joey's like the good uncle. And yeah. Matt LeBlanc just seems like that in real life anyway. Like,
yeah.
Apparently, he was the nicest guy on set. You watch the reunion special, it's like he's the only one that came across like someone that you want to go have a beer with.
Yeah.
Wasn't it that funny meme? It was like Matt LeBlanc's that uncle on Christmas Day or something.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that, yeah.
That everyone wants to have lunch with. Anyway, yeah, what a legend. But he says, you know, you've got to stop there forever. Chucks the keys on the table. The table breaks. We're now at Carol's house. And Ross obviously lies about the vegetarian lasagna. She's going to. I guess you could see the meat.
It depends if it's like corn. I think, I don't even remember, but like corn, like, you know, sort of a version of fake meat, like was like big in this kind of time era. Like I remember if anyone's vegetarian, corn.
Corn?
Corn, like Q-O-R-N, corn was
not,
the...
Not Boston corn. Corn.
Corn. A little bit different.
I thought you were saying like...
Corn.
Get some corn.
Anyway,
corn.
Well, I'm just saying, like, so you get mince, corn mince, right? I can't corn. Say it right now, but anyway, and it would look like meat, but of course, you know, you would trust the person that gave it to you that it wasn't meat. I know there's so many options out there now.
Susan
but,
be scorn.
What are you doing with that accent?
I don't. What are you doing with the accent?
I'm just saying corn. I'm not saying corn. Anything else. It's Q-O-R-N, corn.
Corn. You're saying it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I get what you're saying, yes.
Thank you.
So she could have mistaken it as
yeah. Well, I believe corn. So. Yes, that's how I took it. But, you know, if not, she'll spit it out.
They got the results today that the baby's totally and completely healthy, and they're very excited about that. Then he brings up the fact that, I didn't know you met Huey Lewis. Which I thought was quite funny. Let's look up Huey Lewis 1994 and just see what he looked like. I remember him from the film Duets, singing that song with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yeah.
Cruising together. Huey Lewis, 1994. Yeah, he looks like a Tanya.
We know a Tanya. Not doesn't look friend. Like my friend Tanya.
A 1994 Tanya.
Big
but,
hair.
Yes, but I can see the mistake there. But as you're saying earlier, don't you want to know about the sex? Like, you kind of do, kind of don't.
Oh, sorry.
Then this is when Susan arrives, and she just pushes Ross out of the way. And I'm like, hey, hang on. I thought these guys were friends now. But anyway, Carol almost says it in front of Susan because she knows about the sex.
I know. Like, yeah, we said this the other day when we were watching. It's like, you just had a conversation where someone doesn't want to know.
So. Yeah. I did like the way that Ross, because this is kind of how I, total lie. I always wanted to find out the sex. I don't know about you. Yeah. But I don't want to know. But you really do want to know.
Yeah. And so tempting, like, yeah.
Anyone who says they don't want to know, fuck off. You want to know.
I know.
Surely a part of you wants to know.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know.
1,000. Well, I'm an organizer. I needed to know.
Yeah.
I was not finding out, you know.
I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
Just go the entire time.
I reckon that I would have, if you didn't want to, I'd have still found out.
if you've got one or the other, like if you've got like a boy and a girl, our third one, I might have just gone, we'll see what happens.
I wouldn't have. I like to know. I should be in control.
But Susan says, is it what we thought it might be? They get really excited. Russ is unsure in the background. He's like, yay. What do you think it was?
Don't tell me. Yes.
Yeah. He eventually leaves and then calls back. Oh, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so just because it was my table, I have to buy a new one?
That's the rule.
What rule? There's no rule. If anything, you owe me a table.
How'd you get there?
Well, I believe this piece of furniture was fine until your little breakfast adventure with Angela Del Vecchio.
You knew about that?
Well, let's just say the impressions you made in the butter left little to the imagination.
Okay. How about if we split it?
What do you mean? Like, buy it together?
Yeah.
You think we're ready for something like that?
Why not?
Well, it's just that it's a pretty big commitment. I mean, what if one of us wants to move out?
Why, are you moving out?
I'm not moving out.
You'd tell me if you were moving out, right?
Yes. It's just that with my last roommate, Kip...
I know all about Kip.
Just that we bought a hibachi together, and then he ran off and got married, and things got pretty ugly.
So let me ask you something. Was Kip a better roommate than me?
Oh, don't do that.
And then he moved out to get married, which apparently...
Got messy.
Yeah, got messy, but I've read that... I mean, he could have become married eventually, but apparently when he first moved out, he dated Monica or something? And then
there is a reference to it, isn't there, in an episode
frozen
or something?
Out or
yeah,
something?
Like he was, you know what happened when, Monica and Chip broke up or something like that. Yeah, basically had to move out and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it kind of made it sound like it was more imminent after the Monica thing than it was to get married, yeah.
So he says, is Kip a better roommate than me? And don't do that. Then Phoebe, she's at her work and she's had several changes. You know, someone's pushed something back, I think, and someone's had something cancelled. But then the 3 o'clock arrives. And
yum.
Yeah.
Not for me, but.
As Paolo says, I am being naked. And Phoebe's like, I'm not really sure.
Hadn't even had a chance to answer. Yeah. And he's like, I take my clothes off then.
And clothes are off. So Phoebe immediately covers him up.
I can't believe you don't want to know. I mean, I couldn't not know. I mean, if the doctor knows and Carol knows and Susan knows.
And Monica knows.
How could you know? I don't even know.
Carol called me to thank me for the lasagna. I asked, you told me.
So what's it gonna be? Oh, great, now he knows and I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm just excited about being an aunt.
Or an uncle.
Good here, Ross, why are you annoyed that she's telling Joey? He's like, no, he knows and I don't know. It's like, well, it's your choice.
Know. Yeah, you could know,
buddy. You could know. It's not like they're keeping it a secret from you. You've said you don't want to hear it. But then Phoebe walks in and she's annoyed. Something's off about her. She's, leave me alone. And then a woman wants a cappuccino. I thought this was a real weird shot of the cafe. We haven't seen
Yeah, it's a kind of like the back corner. I know kind of where they're going. Obviously, you can work out where they're going with it. But yeah, it was just...
Do you see it very often?
No, you don't. You don't really see many, unless it's a direct interaction. Like, so one of the main six would start the conversation. There's not many where just like a random person who we don't get the name, we don't get any further conversation. It's just a one-liner and that's it. Like, I know it's a joke that Rachel's not a very good waitress, but...
Yeah. And this is where we get Joey and Chandler about to leave to go find the table that they want to purchase because the store's going to be closing soon. And Phoebe comes out with Paolo. Oh, first
made
of all, do you know Paolo? Yes, I'm familiar with his works, yes. And he made the pass, so Chandler and Joey decide to stay. We come back from commercial and Phoebe's telling her story, how he rubbed her legs. Look, what a douchebag.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Squeezing her ass and everything.
I know.
What is happening here?
Just how they do things in Italy.
Oh, who knows? Maybe 94.
Any Italian subscribers, let us know. Is that how you do things in Italy?
And then gets an erection and Phoebe was just not having it at all. And
trivia, who could camp under there?
Yeah, a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
A Boy Scout, yeah. Then Rachel.
Multiple.
Yeah, Rachel overhears, you know, Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
Who apparently Ross puts on his list of people he can sleep with.
Yes, he does later in.
I'm just reading these stupid, useless facts. Yeah. Ross says that, you know, you have to tell her. He's like, okay,
know, this feminist is my issue. Yeah, come on, this is my chance.
This is my in. Yeah. You have to do it. It's a feminist issue, and he gets the guys to back him up. We're now at the table place.
You pick one. Just pick one. Here, how about that one? That's patio furniture.
What?
Like people are going to come in and think, uh-oh, I'm outside again.
Fine.
What about the birds? I don't know. Birds just don't say, hello, sit here, eat something. You pick one.
All right. How about the ladybugs?
Oh, so forget about the birds, but big red insects suggest fine dining.
Fine. You want to get the birds? Get the birds.
Not like that, I won't. Kip would have liked the birds.
Chandler suggests the bird one. I was like, that is what my nan would have.
I know, but both birds and ladybugs are the most ugliest chairs and table I've ever seen.
Oh, but big red insects are just fine dining and having a little squabble like a couple.
Yeah.
Kip would have liked the birds. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, then it was just like, fine, get it. I'd not like that, I won't.
Yeah, just not fun for anyone. Rachel's now packing her bags and Phoebe arrives. Moving out. This is literally... Oh, I guess not, because we only take one suitcase. But when we're packing, you've just got shit everywhere.
What are you talking about?
Not in a bad way. Let me finish. Because you're just so...
Organized and wonderful and remember everything that keeps everybody alive for the trip.
Yes.
Right, thank you.
I remember once when I packed my suitcase, you looked at it and you went, nah, just go out. And you made me
leave. Needed to repack.
You made me leave. You came back. And it was like an extra third of the suitcase empty once you had finished with it. Like the exact same amount of stuff. You just folded it up neatly and I was like... Oh, there you go. You win.
She has a use.
I have extra room to buy shit and bring it back with me now.
Ugh.
I am, by the way, tell the listeners what we're doing in July. Have we told the listeners yet?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, we are going to England.
Yeah, woo-hoo! First time since Elliot was one, so 2019.
It will be 3 years. Over 4 years when we do it.
Yeah,
it's going to be 4 years in July, basically.
Wow,
so,
But Nicola's family listeners have not met Holly yet. So it's a pretty big deal. And we're going to be seeing Leanne and Jay's wedding, which is exciting as well. But yes, it's just basically we're going to go to Boston, where Nicola's from.
Not from that Boston.
No, Boston in Lincolnshire. And we're just going to be staying there for the entire 3 weeks, apparently.
Of course.
We're not going to leave the house. We're going to stay there.
And we'll leave the house and be in the surrounding suburbs. Yes,
but I'm all up for just going there and just hanging out at home.
Yeah, because last time we did sort of, I don't think it was 4 or 5 days or something with my dad and Amanda, and we did it after only a couple of days of being at Mum's, and we drove away, and it was, you know, poor Elliot had been on the plane and then been 2 nights at Mum's and then another 3 or 4 nights at this random place and then back to Mum's, and he was all over the shop. He was jet lagged. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't eating. You know, it was quite distressing, and, you know, love my dad and Amanda, but they were, bless them, weren't really in tune with the baby schedule, you know, napping schedule, and was planning, you know, a very, very fancy formal high tea at, you know, exactly nap time and things like that. So, you know, bless them. It was wonderful to do these things, but it just wasn't very conducive to a smooth running with a 1-year-old. But they are going to make a lot of effort. They've helped us, you know, have to say it helped us with our flights. And they're going to make the effort to come and stay nearby and be with us for a couple of days. So we will get that, which will be nice.
Is that what we're doing? Okay. I wasn't exactly sure.
Well, that's what they're doing. And we're just going to, like I say, we're going to stay put. So during the day, you know, they'll take us out or we'll do whatever. Yeah. But, yeah.
The thing is, I feel like even like last time we went there, with you, it almost felt like you felt like an obligation to go visit your friends and go do this. This time, it's like, if you want to see us, just come to us.
Yeah. Well, definitely we'll do that. I've already organised, like, with my friends. We'll have a garden party one afternoon.
At your parents' place?
Yeah. I mean, they don't know yet, but it'll be fine.
Okay.
They're pretty open to, you know, it's not going to be rowdy. Like, be with kids and everything.
I think the more they can come to us, the better. Family discussions here on one about friends. But anyway, let's get back to the episode. But Phoebe is... walked in to tell Rachel about what Paolo has been getting up to.
Hey. Hi, Phoebs. Are you moving out?
No, these aren't all my suitcases. This one's Paolo's.
Rachel, can we talk for a sec?
Well, sure. Just for a sec, though, because Paolo's on his way over.
Oh. Okay. Oh, Phoebe. Okay. We have
haven't known each other for that long a time. And there are three things that you should know about me. One, my friends are the most important thing in my life. Two, I never lie. And three, I make the best oatmeal raisin cookies in the world.
Okay. Thanks, Phoebes.
Oh, my God. Why have I never tasted these before?
Oh, well, I don't make them a lot because I don't think it's fair to the other cookies.
I don't think I've ever had an oatmeal raisin cookie.
I have. I'm just trying to think. I think it might have even been in America when we had them.
Okay.
Well, I had them, yeah.
Well, I can't recall. All I can recall in America eating is those delicious meals at Cheesecake Factory.
Well, that, yeah.
And American listeners may laugh at us because Cheesecake Factory is apparently just like whatever, but it was my favorite place in the whole. That and Bubba Gumps.
Value for money is what we were there for.
Happy Hour, Anaheim, Bubba Gumps. That
Holy
was the best.
Holy smokes, got me wasted off one cocktail. Yeah. I was like, okay, so just to be clear, is there any cranberry juice in this Cosmopolitan?
I remember the dude that made that.
Yeah, and he was like, look, you know, it's 95% alcohol. And I'm like, you're going to have to give me some more cranberry juice. I can't drink it. And he was like, what?
He was like, have this, then go ride Space Mountain.
Yeah, no, I was just like, yeah, but also I'll take a few sips, but please give me some more cranberry juice. I cannot drink this.
It was like $2 sliders as well. I remember, it was so awesome. Yeah. I love Bubba Gumps. It was one of my favorite places ever. Yeah, so she basically comes clean with Rachel here. So she wants to make her aware because Rachel loves the cookies. Mm. So you can see that I never lie. Mm. And she tells Rachel because it's going to be really hard for Rachel to hear this. We then cut to them revealing the table to Monica and Ross. Mm-hmm. The most beautiful table that they've ever seen. It's a foosball table. One of those things that I've always wanted to own, but I feel like if you've got no one to play it with, it's useless.
Yeah.
And B, I feel like you get sick of it very quickly.
Yeah, it's not my favourite. I think the pool table when we did have it was more fun. But then again, I think we never really utilised that as much as we could have.
Wouldn't we have got the room for it? If it wasn't a room in the house, we
would play. And also think when the kids are a bit older too, like, and they're actually into playing and, like, you know, they can hold a cue and reach the table and stuff like that.
Alec used to love getting on and just throwing the balls around. They're smashing. They bounce here, they bounce there.
They do that still at your parents' place.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Monica is very competitive. This is the first time we see her truly competitive nature. She is you.
Yep.
Yeah. Nicola cannot lose.
No doubt about it.
Nicola can lose, but she doesn't like
to
lose.
I do not like it.
No. Not
but mostly anything. That means that it wasn't fair if I lost. No, I'm joking.
Nicola won't even let Holly win a race down the hallway.
Oh, no, that's not true.
You pushed her through a wall the other day.
I didn't. What are you on about? God, he riles me.
Rachel,
I buy it every time.
Rachel feels stupid. After Phoebe has come clean and told her what Paolo's been doing and she needs some milk. Phoebe just randomly has some milk in her bag.
No, she brought the thermos of milk to go with the cookies. It's not random.
I guess it's not random. I just thought it was a nice little quirk of her that she's got
milk. Yeah, no, she just came prepared.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes more sense now.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's embarrassed and they realize they're apologizing to each other. Why are we sorry?
Yeah.
I
did think it was sweet when she grabbed the paper towel and just walked across the kitchen and just like, no.
Yeah. You know, he's the big, disgusting pig man.
Pig man.
But he was her pig man. Yeah. And she feels very sad. And she says, why couldn't I see this? And Phoebe says, because he was gorgeous and charming. And that's the end.
Yeah, yeah. That's enough. Yeah.
Yes, that is the end.
Should I not have told you?
No, trust me. It's much better that I know.
I just liked it better before it was better.
Phoebe then goes and tells the others about, you know, that she's come clean with Rachel and they're playing foosball. Monica and Ross win, even though it's just Monica, really, which you'll find in the shot here. Or maybe it was
God.
What?
If you could have heard the rumblings coming out of that dog's a-hole, I'm out.
Okay.
This dog has
first some
the
context,
absolute,
people.
Sorry.
First of all, our dog Jet is on the floor in our room. Nicola looked off mic and just said, oh my God, I'm thinking it's a spider or something. The dog.
It's the rumblings of this dog's asshole. Honest to God, sorry viewers. To give you an idea, there's a green cloud.
It's not his asshole, it's his stomach. Or did he just let one loose?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you. It's like an absolute rumbling of the a-hole. It is it is gas seeping from his body, creating a cloud of...
Poor old boy. He's going to be 10 soon. He's on a strict diet because he can't have grain and things like that. But we're just giving him whatever.
We're giving him grain free, which is what makes his stomach...
I think he's on medication that's making his stomach a bit ill. Mm. But anyway, poor Jetty boy.
Poor old stinky boy.
As I was saying, though...
Sorry.
Monica has won this, but there's a shot. It's either in the previous scene or this one when they're playing, where the blue team, she wins with the blue team. In the final shot during the credits, she's playing with the red, and then the blue team win. They use the same shot.
Oh, right.
They didn't refilm her winning with the red team. But, so Monica wins here, and then Phoebe says, oh, we should go see how she's going.
Well, looks like we kicked your butts.
No, no, she kicked our butts. You could be on the Olympic stand in their team.
Come on, 2-on-1.
What are you still doing here? She just broke up with the guy. It's time for you to swoop in.
Well, now?
Yes, now is when you swoop. You gotta make sure that when Paolo walks out of there, the first guy Rachel sees is you. She's gotta know that you're everything he's not. You're like the anti-Paolo. My Catholic friend is right. She's destruct. You're there for her, you pick up the pieces, and then you usher in the age of Ross.
Rachel, meanwhile, is throwing clothes off of the balcony.
Oh, another little trivia for you. What does ascolta mean?
Ascolta?
Because that's what Paolo was saying.
Stop.
Ascolta. No, it means listen.
Okay. Yeah. Now, to get this shot, they actually went to the exterior place that we went and saw in New York. And someone went up the top and threw clothes out the window. So that's the actual building they use in the transition scenes. So it's the actual one. But yeah, they've arrived there, and Monica and Phoebe are sort of like keeping track of what's going on. Ross is like, what's going on? Don't stare.
Nobody look now.
Mm. Yeah, so don't stare. But, you know, she's just thrown his clothes, and that's either how could you or enormous breasts. Paolo then walks in, all quite quiet, and he's like, I am to say goodbye. Phoebe's like, bye-bye. And then Monica gives him a lasagna because she's just got to try and palm him off to anybody.
I hate you, but have some food.
Here's the thing, though. Well, she's just got 12 baking dishes.
Yeah, true story. Must have been down at Kmart.
Yeah. And Ross sees him out. I think I speak for everybody when I say boom. Mm. Ross is excited. He feels like, oh, this is my in, this is my moment, and I'm going to make this happen. He suggests that he be the one to go talk to her, gives her a big cuddle, and then, but unfortunately, she says she doesn't want to be near any other guys. She doesn't want anything else to do with guys. So Ross backs away. And then she says, you're so great. And he's like, what the fuck? What is going on here? Like,
you know. Well, because he's totally friend zoned. So she's saying, in terms of relationships,
I
don't want to see another guy. But she doesn't view Ross as a guy at this point. She doesn't really think of him as a guy in this sense, in terms of a romantic. So she's just like, oh, you're so great. Like, what a good friend. I'm so glad I've got you here. But I'm sworn off guys. You know, this is it for me. She's not seeing him as a guy, one and the same. She's seeing him as just, you know, my friend Ross.
Has he done anything to be friend zoned?
Well, he just has never made a move. And like, as far as Rachel knows, they're friends, right?
Yeah, I guess he's just been
have friends who are males, and like, I wouldn't think they're still my male friends. I wouldn't think they're anything other than that, if that makes sense.
Because they haven't flirted with you?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. But that's good enough, right? If they haven't flirted with me, why would I think that they want anything else other than my friendship? Okay. I mean, do you have a different perspective?
No.
With girls?
No, you
that haven't flirted with you?
No. I mean, good. If any girl winks at me, I'm just like, hey, yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Luckily, no girls ever wink at me.
Mm, that is lucky.
I'm getting the death stare listening.
Just but, like the cogs are turning.
Oh, no,
like,
you didn't. But yeah, it's not working out well for Ross. But if you notice in the background, you can see inside the apartment when she's cuddling him, and you can see the studio lights. You can see above where her wall ends.
Oh, it's no, from a distance. I didn't notice.
You can sort of see it, sort of someone blurred in the background.
I have to rewatch that now.
But you can see it. But the back inside. And Ross is very pushy, isn't he? No, you can still like guys.
I'm off
guys now. He suggests that she has a more sophisticated screening process. Mm. Not all guys are going to be a Paolo. And she drops the bombshell, well, I'm sure your little boy won't grow up to be one. And he just can't believe it. He's like, what, really?
Now, very sweet ending there. Very nice way to end the, change the subject.
Yeah, which comes full circle when he reveals the sex of their child to Rachel.
Yes, I know that actually. We talked about that before.
Have we?
Or I don't know, maybe we have. Yeah, we have, I think. Okay. Whether it was on the air or not, I don't know. But
okay.
Yeah.
And then reality sinks in. Like, I'm having a son. And David Schwimmer really encapsulates what it's like there when you realize, oh, I'm having a son. Like, every guy wants a son. Whether they say that they do or not.
Yeah, wow.
Every guy wants a son. Like, you want a daughter, right? You could sit there and say, I'd be happy either way. And some people would. Maybe some people are.
Yeah.
But I wanted a son.
Yeah.
And once I had my son, I couldn't care whether Holly was a boy or a girl. I got my son. You know, I've always had this growing up. I wanted a son to kick the footy with and take to the footy and teach boy stuff, you know, go wrestle or whatever, you know, just always wanted a son. So like Ross here in this moment really showed how I felt. I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome.
Oh, my God,
like,
it's happening.
It's actually happening. This is real.
And just a beautiful sentiment to that is that Elliot is wearing his Geelong Cats gear today and Daddy did take him out the front to kick the footy around.
Yes.
So he's got his wish.
Oh, he wants it washed, by the way, tonight because he wants to wear it to daycare tomorrow.
Oh, right. Yeah, thanks. You've given me no notice. I realized. Yeah, okay.
It's covered in spaghetti.
I can't get it dry.
I'll get the hair dryer on it. It'll be fine.
Oh, you're strange, but all right.
It's designed to dry quickly.
Okay.
All right.
I'll put it outside. It's windy.
But yeah, and meanwhile, Phoebe's eating the lasagna, which we discussed earlier. We now have the credits and Monica beats the two guys again, Chandler and Joey. That would be a shutdown, a shutout. You know, it's 2:30, so you get out. And she
says, are they playing American football on this foosball table, by the way?
No, it's
soccer. Right, yeah, what's a shutout in soccer? I don't know what that is. I've never heard of it before. Me think it was an American football thing.
I don't know, maybe. Anyway, it's definitely not an American football thing, but I don't know what a shutout is either. She says that she'll only use her left hand, but they pick her up and throw her out. Turn around, one more game. Yes,
yeah.
Because at least this time one of them will actually win. Yeah. And that's the end of the one with the dozen lasagnas. A very, very entertaining episode of Friends and definitely one of the best ones we've reviewed so far. I love the way they're really finding that balance between comedy and drama. Mm, is drama the word?
Yeah, I suppose.
Emotional.
Yeah. Dramatic life events, yeah.
Yeah, just making it very relatable. I think it was a very well-written episode.
Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, they get mail and stuff.
All right, Nicola, it is now time for some mailbag for the one with a dozen lasagnas. This first question here comes from Talia Enriquez. She says, as parents, how do you relate to the Ross subplot in this episode? Well, we very much just wanted to know the sex.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, 100%. And obviously, I had to make sure that everything was okay. So the first comment, obviously, Carol makes is about the amnio. So that's when you do the, the way that we do it here was blood testing and things. So, yeah, that was just to check that, you know, there wasn't any high risk factors for any particular disorders and things. So, yeah,
I was scared for that.
Were you?
Yeah, I'm always scared. I'm just like, because I'm going to love the child either way, but it's a relief knowing they're healthy.
Because
if they're not healthy, it's like, I almost feel guilty. Even though I shouldn't, it's like, I'm bringing this child to
the world. I think that everybody that
struggle,
experiences go, that is allowed to have a process of grief, even whatever it might be to them. Yeah, 100%.
But then you got to remember, I always fall back on that, at least I'm having a child, so some people can't. And I always feel guilty. Even like when Elliot or Holly are carrying on, I'm just like, fucking kids. And I think, some people can't have kids and I feel bad. And I'm like, is it wrong for me to feel bad?
Well, you can make an allowance. You can be understanding of the fact that how lucky you are, but at the same time, you don't have to be fucking happy and sunshine and daisies all day, every day.
Yeah.
That's not realistic.
No.
You have to model, darling. You have to model losing your temper. No, not you don't have to model losing your temper. You have to model losing your cool, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then how to repair it. And if you did something wrong, you say sorry. And if you threw your toys, you say sorry and you pick him up.
I feel like I've been good the last week of Elliot.
You've been
though, right?
So good, yeah.
Well, was it yesterday?
Not that he was ever really bad, but Brendan has been super cool and I've been the one that's been a bit testy.
Yesterday he was like, it's the worst day ever.
Yeah.
And what did I say to him? It can't be the worst day ever because you've got a mummy and daddy and a Holly and a Pumbaa who think you're the best boy in the whole world. And he just had a big smile on his face.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was very sweet. And actually, yesterday we went to the beach and our little boy, who is usually very shy and very cautious, suggested going on the Ferris wheel, had a smile on his face the whole time.
Loved it.
Loved the beach. We went in the water, couldn't get him out of the water.
I couldn't believe it.
I know. He's so usually...
Waves were going over his face, over his head, and he was just like, in his eyes and spitting the water. And he's like, that's okay. It's just water.
Like, yeah.
Who is this kid?
Wow. Yeah. He just really, he took a leap, I have to say. I'm so proud.
And he's like crawling through the seaweed. Yeah. Normally he won't even look at it.
No. It was amazing.
Next question here comes from Andrew Swan. Final question. What's the best/worst massage you've ever gotten? Ooh.
Well, does this not play into a future episode about the massages?
I don't know, does it?
Well, in terms of couples. I'd have to say the worst was you. I mean, no, I'm just joking. Best massages, you know, you can't beat going to like your endo to spa and having like a proper massage.
I've never had one like that.
I did have a back massage once. Like it's kind of like one of those massage places in the supermarket. I went with Chelsea. Remember I used to work with Chelsea?
Oh, yeah.
And they were like really horrible and... rough and actually hurt me more probably.
My worst one is the there's one that I think of from football, but there's the one that I went to like a
Hiroshi.
I'll tell you in a minute. The Chinese massage, I think it was Cry Village, and it was a neck massage though, but I hate getting massage on my neck, like the pushing in the side there. It's like,
you ordered a neck massage because
It was the shoulders, but then she started going on my neck and I was like, I was like, just stay on my shoulders. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But the one at football, It was like, she liked to think she was a chiropractor. I never saw a diploma or anything like that. Can't remember what her name was, but she was for football and she was like, grab my neck. And she just goes, and it was the first time I've ever had my neck cracked.
Yeah.
It scared the life out of me.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I was terrified. I was like, whoa, I thought my neck had broken. Like, you feel it and you hear it. And and ever since then, I feel like my back's never been the same. Ugh. Like, they always say, once you've adjusted your bones, you can't adjust them back to the way they were. That was the worst one. Best one, sometimes, I love when you just rub like the back, like behind my ears.
Oh.
You know, like in there?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't keep saying descriptive things like in there.
but yeah, you give.
This is an audio show, guys.
you give very good massages.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You haven't commented on my massages yet.
Oh, they're beautiful. I'm just
they're beautiful.
I just don't want to go into too much detail about your massages.
Why?
Moving on.
Okay, well, there's nothing to move on to. That's the end of the episode.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, your massages are great. Thanks, sweetheart. I'm very grateful. Brenda's very patient. What? I can never be bothered
Why
to massage
are you going
for more
red?
Than 6 minutes. I'm not.
Why? What's going
oh,
on?
Oh, my God, it's the smell from this dog.
Oh, nice little cover.
Honestly,
up there.
No, it just hit me.
This is what sometimes we'll be sitting there watching a movie and Nicole sort of like adjusts herself in the seat and goes, oh, shit.
Oh, I'm shut like, up. It's not me.
It just seeped from you. Now, anyway.
Oh, darling.
Enough about dog
me,
farts.
If this was my bloody insides, I'd be seeing a doctor.
Enough about dog farts. We've spoken about massages. The next episode of the one about friends is the one with the boobies. Ooh, that sounds like a fun episode.
Oh, it is fun. Yeah.
All righty. The one with the boobies will be the next episode of
Tit for Tat.
The one about friends. Hope you enjoyed our review of the one with the dozen lasagnas. Don't forget to please continue to rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you do find this podcast. Follow us on social media at One About Friends on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you do enjoy the show and you want to show us some support, get access to a bunch of exclusive stuff, early access to this show, get access to a Facebook group where you get to banter with Nicola and myself every day. If you just drop us a message on there, we can reply to you on there. You can do so by becoming a member of the One About Friends family on Patreon, patreon.com/4fingerdiscount. We are part of the 4-Finger Discount Network. You can find the link to that in the description of this podcast. Also, don't forget to send us some questions, friendsmailbag@gmail.com. This has been the one with the dozen lasagnas. Next episode is the one with the boobies. Nicola, thank you so much for joining me here this week.
Yeah, thanks. I live here. I didn't have a lot of choice.
It's been a lot of fun, and I enjoy talking about boobies with you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.